This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
She's ready because of her faith. She's ready because of her heart. She's ready because of her experience, and she's ready because she knows that in America, we are stronger when we are together.
It was all about Kane and Biden from the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So Joe Biden went after Trump hard at the Hillary Convention, as did Kane, who now suddenly is in the spotlight, Tim Kaine, as the VP. I think his role is to try to somehow reassure the liberal wing of the Democratic Party while trying to win over those ever-important moderates. Let's start with Biden, because Biden absolutely has a big hand in what's happening at the convention, and clearly Biden said that it's a bunch of malarkey talking about Donald Trump and some of what has been happening, the swings that he's been taking anyway, at Hillary Clinton. We've talked about that a lot here on America Tonight. And he could be, as some are calling him, like the USA Today and the New York Times, perhaps he is the secret weapon for Hillary Clinton. And we'll see more of Joe Biden on the campaign trail. It's interesting because some of you called the show when we were talking about VPs and we were throwing darts at a dartboard, and a few of you said you thought Joe Biden would be that guy. He's like the perennial VP. Well, I absolutely thought that was not going to happen, but he still could be the guy that goes out on the campaign trail, and honestly, that's what it's looking like, which is why he had his moment in the sun, I'll call it, in Philly. So when she accepts the Democratic nomination at the party's convention on Thursday, Biden, I would think in his mind, I'm thinking out loud, but is he the guy who is thinking to himself, hey, maybe this could have been me? If you go back and you look at the months and months and months and months that we talked about the speculation that Joe Biden could actually run for president, and then, of course, sadly, his son Beau dies of cancer, and there's speculation that that's why he backed off trying to run for the presidency. I don't think it was that. I think he, and maybe partially, he was just exhausted, but I don't think that Biden, I really didn't think that Biden was going to go for it anyway. But regardless, that's neither here nor there, because that's out of the ballpark for him. Instead, what now has happened is he's trotted out to say things like this, and this was a Joe Biden saying about Trump. He speaks the language of these people that I'm seeing on the street, and he says that, you know, Biden says what happens with Donald Trump is just a bunch of malarkey and ridiculous what we're hearing out of the mouth of you know, Donald Trump. So the Clinton campaign is counting on Biden's appeal to somehow appeal to voters, I think, in Rust Belt states and maybe even in swing states like Pennsylvania, which could be so huge in this election. He was scheduled to campaign with Clinton in Scranton, Pennsylvania, earlier in the month, had to cancel because of the shootings of the officers that were killed in Dallas. But I think you're going to see him out a lot, again, because he can be that swing man, and we saw that in day three of the Democratic convention. He says he plans on staying involved. He's not going to go away, and I don't know that that's a surprise. If Clinton wins the November election, she probably needs Joe Biden to be maybe perhaps that, as some are suggesting, that emissary in other parts, in other corners of the world. But who knows? Just day three coming out of the convention, I think the big news is him taking some swings at Donald Trump, saying it's all a bunch of malarkey, pumping up Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. And then I think the other part of this is the VP, Tim Kaine, and what does he bring to the convention floor, and what does he say in his national debut? And as I mentioned, his job is to kind of take the heat off of Hillary Clinton, I think, when it comes to winning over liberals and also making sure that moderates are interested in this campaign. I mean, even Gabby Giffords said, I want to say Madam President. So they're also playing up the fact that, of course, this will be the first female president in the United States, while other countries have had female presidents. I think that's obviously that's one of the themes here. So, again, Tim Kaine, the story, day three of the national convention, introducing himself to the nation as he trots along the stage, for those who don't know who he is, and he pretty much sticks to the message of what the Clinton campaign is putting out there as far as what they see as the biggest themes, heading into heading into what ultimately would be that showdown between Trump and Hillary when we get to the debates, which I think will be astronomical. I honestly think that the debates are going to have blowout ratings and will be much, much bigger than the little parties, rallies for the Republicans and for the Democrats. So what happened in Cleveland, what happened in Philly will just be, pale in comparison to, I believe, what we'll ultimately see coming out of these debates. So as we roll on here, you can always send me your thoughts at americatonight.net. Again, americatonight.net. And in looking at moving beyond the convention, I think one of the big stories on the day has to be what's happening in other corners of the country and other corners of the globe, if you will. And when I say that, I'm talking about some of the creepier, sad things that I happened to catch when I was cruising along today. And one of them was this Texas officer who they have on, of course, now on tape, who demanded sex acts for rent. Naturally was fired, was let go. But the question is, how does this happen? How do they not catch it sooner? And what was he, how was he hiding behind his badge? And this is a veteran guy from the San Antonio Police Department who was fired, if you remember, last year. And this happened after an internal affairs investigation had found out he demanded or determined he had demanded sex acts from a live-in girlfriend in exchange for rent. The guy's name, I can still remember it, Lance Little, got 3 indefinite suspensions, which is basically equal to being fired. In April of 2015, they haven't offered an explanation of why they waited about a year, more than a year, to release the information on that case, which is so crazy. The woman gave detectives a recorded argument between her and Little where he demanded she perform sex acts on him to keep from having to move out, because she didn't have the money, obviously, living with him. So again, one of the creepier things happening off the grid, off the political trail. And we start, of course, with the Democratic Convention Day 2. All right, coming up, we're going to look at the numbers here on America Tonight.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one used the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Evalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771. Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
So, cha-ching, Dallas Maverick Dirk Nowitzki signed 2 years, $50 million. And check this out, when we talk about numbers, he's 38 years old, and in the world of the NBA, boy, 38, you're like an old man, especially when you're running up and down that court. 18 years with one team, which was is pretty spectacular. He wants to play 20 years. We'll see if he makes it to 20 years. But, wow, 2 years, $50 million for Dirk Nowitzki, the star for the Dallas Mavericks. We switch gears and talk about Matt Damon. You know Matt Damon, another Jason Bourne movie coming out. Matt Damon trained, he says, to the point of exhaustion. Check this out. He's a little bit older than Dirk Nowitzki. He's 45. 5 years old. He worked out 5 days a week, an hour and a half a day for 6 months. He said, in his words, not mine, his words, he said it sucked, but he was completely ripped. He looks so much younger than his 45 years. It just goes to show you there is something about really, really killing it, and he really, really killed it. That's why he said to the point of exhaustion. We jump to money and Facebook and profits. Profits in the second quarter, Facebook reported net income of $2.06 billion. Did you hear me? With a B, billion, or 71 cents a share. Now you compare that with $719 million or 25 cents a share a year ago. That's pretty incredible, I would say. So you'd have to believe that Mark Zuckerberg is incredibly happy with the news of those kinds of earnings, which is in very, very stark contrast to Twitter, which warned of a sharp slowdown in its advertising business, announced that earlier in the week, late on Tuesday. In fact, that what a company, or what an analyst, one of the analysts I was reading had to say, is this is a company going in the opposite direction of what we thought where Twitter would be going. So clearly, while so many people use Twitter as a way to communicate, they're not effectively able to monetize, at least at this point, what's going on with the company. It's funny because, you know, here, and by the way, if you want to tweet me ever or respond to a tweet, you can. It's Kate Delaney at Real Radio Talk. Kate Delaney at Real Radio Talk. But as far as ways to communicate, besides Instagram, and I mentioned Facebook and how well they're doing, it seemed like Twitter really was where we found a lot of breaking news, snarky comments, clever, pithy rhetoric, and big trends that you would see on Twitter. And you're still seeing that. But the interesting thing is that they haven't been able to, or they've seen a drop in what they were able to do as far as monetizing Twitter, which is always the red flag with anything to do with any company with social media. All right, this is a sad one, so cover your ears if you don't want to hear about a dog who was covered in tar. Makes me furious. But animal officials rescued two dogs from what they call a bubbling, boiling roof in New Jersey on one of the hottest days of the year. It's been very hot there, you know, almost 100 degrees up and down the entire state. So they responded to a call about a pit bull and a Yorkie that were trying frantically to avoid burning their paws on the tar roof of a Newark home. The temperatures were up to about 96, 98 at the time. And of course, that's what happens. The tar on the roof was bubbling and burning the animals when they tried to protect their paws. And thank goodness somebody saw and made that phone call. What kind of idiot does that to a dog and leaves them there dehydrated and everything else? So the good news is that they were rescued, and now it's a question of what happens from here. But they spent the day in scorching temperatures, no water, bodies being burned by the hot tar. Can only imagine what that pain is. So, you know, the shelter that picked them up says they've seen an onslaught of animal abuse cases, and they're asking people, of course, for donations to come in. I mean, this is the way this, you know, happens. And the good news is that people are speaking up when they see some kind of cruelty to animals, and the New Jersey Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals is leading the investigation into who owned them, because they don't seem to know who owns the two dogs that were rescued, which is really, really scary that they were put in that situation in the first place. And you know, this is radio, but I saw the pictures of the dogs, and oh my gosh, it just breaks your heart to see the two dogs, I mean, just literally covered in tar, because they were frantically trying to get away, to get out of a burning situation where their paws were literally on fire. Okay, so here's a big one for you. Would you ever think that John Hinckley Jr. would be freed? You remember him, the almost Reagan assassinator? I mean, you got to go all the way back to 1981, but you know, so he's obviously known for his attempt on Reagan's life, President Reagan, and apparently there is a very good chance, at least some legal analysts are saying, that he could be released, that there's a chance of that. Hinckley shot, just to remind you of what happened, Hinckley shot President Reagan and three others outside the Washington Hilton Hotel on March 30th, 1981, found not guilty by reason of insanity at a 82 trial, and ordered confinement for treatment at a hospital in Washington. So the release has been cast as what they call a convalescent leave, and there's strict kinds of guidelines to this. He has to live at his mother's home in Williamsburg, Virginia. He's restricted to a 50-mile radius of the location. He has to inform his doctors before going to any private residence, that kind of stuff. He has to turn over all that information, and then he would still have to check in. And of course, they would require that he has no contact whatsoever with people like actress Jodie Foster, who in a letter to her written on the eve of the assassination, taking you back again, Hinckley was obsessed with her and emphasized that his act on trying to go after the president was because of Jodie Foster. It was just the oddest thing when that story, when the story broke, sadly, when you had the Reagan attempt that also wounded three others who were trying to obviously protect him. So I think this is a very, very big story, and you obviously have your numbers. It's a 103-page court order that U.S. District Judge Paul Friedman in Washington wrote that Hinckley 61 is not a danger to himself or others. And the experts say that he's got major depression, psychiatric disorders, and that they're in remission and have been for 20 years, and he's clinically ready to leave the hospital. He could be free as early as August 5th, and this is a giant story. So the question has become, if you try to assassinate the president and you destroy the lives and almost kill the people around him protecting him, no matter what the circumstances are, should you be released from a facility? And the people that evaluate him and have been evaluating him on a daily basis or weekly basis, depending on who was treating him, they're saying, yes, you should be able to. He's not a danger. He's not depressed. And he needs to be released. They haven't gone as far to say, oh, he's done his penance. But just to the effect of, okay, he's done what he needs to do. He did the work at the hospital, and he's not a danger to anyone. He served X amount of years, and he is set for release. And I don't think there's any indication of which way this goes, because it doesn't mean it has to happen. But there's a very, very real possibility that it could happen, and I think that's why there's a bit of a play in the media, so to kind of gauge the reaction, perhaps, of how people would feel if, in fact, he were released. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way here on The Flip Side on America Tonight.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Did you know that a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? If you knew what could be growing in your mask and hose, you might not sleep so well. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs, and it's completely hands-free. For a limited time, you can try SoClean risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-952-2797.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean destroys CPAP bacteria, viruses, and germs, and it eliminates the daily hassle of washing your system by hand. There's no water, chemicals, or disassembly. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto! Your CPAP system is clean and fresh in minutes. Call SoClean.com to try it risk-free at home for 30 days. This is a limited-time offer. Only available by calling 1-800-952-2797. That's 1-800-952-2797.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
On the show than a glass ceiling breaker, Sherry Wilson. She was the first female firefighter paramedic in the Dallas Fire Rescue Department. Wow, imagine what that was like. So excited to have her on the show. She's got a book out called Faith on Fire, The First Ingredient of a Miracle is an Impossible Situation. I bet a lot of people listening to us across the country can relate to that. Sherry, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
So you got to take us back to the very beginning of this. First of all, what made you want to go into this profession?
Well, I wasn't really sure that this was what I wanted, but I was working for an ambulance company. I knew I wanted to save lives. But the reason I applied for the fire department was because a man told me I couldn't.
Always a good ingredient, an elixir to ignite a woman's passion for a job, yes.
He said, you can't do that. You're a woman. He goes, you're stupid. Women can't be firefighters. And I went, oh, well, I went home. I tossed and turned in the bed that night. I was really angry. I was on shift. I went home, took a shower, found my college transcript, walked into the Dallas Fire Department, and within a couple months, going through the processes, I was hired.
Wow. And what was it like the very first time when you put on the gear, learned all the ropes, all the kind of things that go into becoming a firefighter combined with what you were doing? What was that like when that first happened for you?
Well, I mean, out at the academy, it was it was all a training ground. But the very first really big fire, I just remember my heart pounding. And I was, you know, back in that day, we could stand up on the sides of the apparatus. And this fireman that I was riding with, he looked over at me. And I think he could see as we were coming up over this bridge, it looked like the sun was coming up. And I had a panic look on my face. And he looked at me and he pointed and he said, his exact words were, "Girl, that fire's already out. You hear me?" And I just went, okay. And we went in there. That was the faith on fire attitude. They didn't look at a fire and go, "Oh my God, what are we going to do?" They had this attitude that was going to win no matter what. And it just stuck with me and it resonated through my entire life. And it ultimately helped me finish nearly 35 years in my career.
Wow. And from that scary moment, there had to be others. The first fire you jumped into the middle of where you thought, boy, am I, did you ever have that thought? Like you said, the winning attitude, did you ever have the thought, "I hope I get out of here. I have a family. I can't believe this." Did you ever once have that thought?
Well, there's times that you do what we call following the hose. You hope the hell the hose going out of the fire instead of to the fire. And so, yeah, I had a few of those. I think the scariest was we went into an old building in downtown Dallas, and it had served many a purposes, but we went up the stairwells, and I was one of the last to go up the stairwell, and I fell through the stairwell. Thank God my butt stopped me from going all the way through. And I was sitting there going, "Oh, God, help me." You know, I was expecting angels. They appeared in bunker gear. And over a period of time, they were able to dislodge me and get me out of there. And I ended up taking a few shifts off. But when I came back, they were like, "She's back." They really thought it would have done me in.
Wow.
And so I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And before you knew it, get her done.
Yeah, yeah, and what people don't realize is how much does all that gear weigh? This is not an easy task.
I don't know, probably close to 50 pounds, maybe. I mean, without a mask, it's probably more like 25, 30, but with a mask, it's a little heavier. And they were heavier back in the old day. We used to have old steel tanks, and then finally we went to aluminum and fiberglass, and they were a little bit lighter and easier and more ergonomically comfortable, but... You know, you kind of felt like a pack mule at times, but the gear wasn't the hardest thing. The hardest thing for me were tarps.
Tarps. Why were tarps hard?
Because they are so freaking heavy, and you usually carry two of them. And if you carry them up into a high-rise building, I mean, it's just, it doesn't sound like much, but that and the high-rise bag were the two hardest things to do. The two very hardest things.
Wow. So, crazy. I've spent some time, I was in New York when 9/11 happened, and I had friends who were firefighters, and I spent a lot of time, in my life I've spent time around firefighters, people who do it for a living, and people who are volunteer. And I think one of the hardest things is they never want to lose anybody. And going into a fire where they just can't, you know, where they can't save somebody, or they find somebody was in a back room and it's too late, everything explodes. Did you ever have an experience like that?
Well, I was involved in the 9/11 saga in a way. One, because I was a firefighter. Two, I had just dropped my son off at West Point a month before, and we had done the towers. We had eaten at Windows on the World. We had, you know, bought our little Christmas ornaments and things. And then to have my son near all of that was very stressful. That was a really hard time for firefighters. And the very first shift back, our lieutenant sat us down and he said, "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We are now the first line of defense for the homeland. You know, our military's overdoing what they're doing. Here in America, something hits. We're the first line of defense. What are you, defense, what are you going to do? Are you going to go up them stairs just like those firefighters?" And it was funny because it was like a calling to all of us. And, you know, we all made the choice that we were going to keep doing it. We weren't going to be stopped. by whatever was out there. Our rules of engagement changed. As a driver engineer, a lot of times I got stuck out with the apparatus instead of in the middle of whatever they were doing because we were afraid they were going to use our apparatus as some kind of weapon, and so we had to, you know, maintain control of it. I mean, a lot of things happened because of that. I studied that to the point that, I mean, I had to quit watching it because, mm-hmm. you know, where we were looking at how the building fell and, you know, how can we, you know, because I really was not expecting those buildings to fall. And so we've gone through a lot of extensive, you know, trying to figure out what happened, how did it happen, what could prevent that in the future. And anyhow, sometimes I say, stick a fork in me, I'm done. I'm glad mm-hmm. it's over with.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved what I did, and, you know, as far as I'm concerned, once a firefighter, you'll always be a firefighter.
Oh, I hear you on that, knowing so many people who have retired from the fire department and, as I said, have been in it. One thing I know about fire departments is the sense of humor is crazy insane. When I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I was a television anchor, and, of course, I got to know a lot of the firemen. And they had a nickname for me. They used to call me Chipmunk.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I mean, and they meant it lovingly because they would gave me some good inside scoop. And it was just so funny. Like one time accidentally I was interviewing the chief and he was so comfortable with me. He said, "That's right, Chipmunk." And I cannot tell you the letters I got at the station from people about that nickname wanting to know what do they mean by that? So you talk about in your book, you talk about the fire department poop sheet. Tell us what a poop sheet is.
Oh, it's pretty much, oh, God, you read that part, huh?
Uh-huh.
It was just a tool to lighten the load, so to speak. We called it agitation. And the poop sheet is pretty powerful. You know, words are very powerful. Once you put them out there, they're out there. And, of course, you know, there was numerous. I actually have files of poop sheets from over the years. And if it's not a poop sheet, it's a cartoon where, you know, they've put your face in there and you know, had something humorous to say. So, yeah, we had a lot of those. And I'm a writer, so, you know, I couldn't really fight a lot of the battles that were there, so I did it with my poop sheet. And I was pretty destructive with it at times. I mean, there was a few of them that got really quiet. And when they got really quiet, I knew it was time to kind of back off. But
yeah.
I made my point. I mean, I learned to play those games just as good as they did, and in some cases, a little bit better. I'm not really proud of all of it, but I learned a lot of lessons, and I grew from it. And the fire department seems to be a lot gentler today than it was. But there's always a little bit of cordial hypocrisy, so to speak, going on, you know, people gesturing and posturing to be bigger than the other or better than the other or whatever. I mean, there's just that John Wayne attitude.
Yeah, it's playing the dozens, and you just did it on a sheet, and it was, you know, sarcastic or ripping on somebody's the way they dressed or groomed themselves or whatever it is. As you say, it's a way to, in a weird way, to keep score or do the John Wayne kind of thing for sure. Do you think more women will become firefighters? Have we seen the advent of, hey, now if you can do it, then we want you? Has it gotten better?
Oh, I think it's gotten a lot better. There's nearly 100 in our department now, and I'm going to tell you, I'm a betting woman, and I bet that the next chief will be a woman.
Really?
I would follow this one girl anywhere, but there's three or four of them that are absolutely qualified, have got the thing that's so unique about it is that, and it's how I stay connected to the department is through my friends, and they have the respect of the men. I mean, that's how good they are at this job, and so it's really exciting to see.
Well, that's cool, especially, like you said, they're that good at the job. All right, Faith on Fire is the book. Sherry Wilson wrote the book. She's the author. And to get a copy of it, can we go to Amazon?
You can go to Amazon or you can go to faithonfire.com.
Awesome. Sherry Wilson, it's been a delight. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
By fire, by water, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro-1 G2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Are you one of the millions of Americans who suffer from digestive issues like heartburn, acid reflux, IBS, and constipation? Probimune is your answer. Probimune is a brand new probiotic that has been scientifically proven to deliver high quantities of viable good bacteria to your gut to boost your digestive system and improve your overall health. This unique, powerful blend of probiotic strains, coupled with our industry-leading proprietary fermentation process, delivers a maximized bacterial colonization to the gut that no other probiotic can match. Start improving your health today. Visit younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024. Use coupon code DIGEST to receive 15% off first-time orders. Maintaining digestive health is crucial to the body's overall well-being. Don't suffer from negative effects of poor digestion any longer. Order today. Younghealth.com or call 800-396-9024.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Virtual green room right now. I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to ericpetersautos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we gotta go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables, but if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If there's such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined, and then you look at the auto industry, if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at, but that could be a disaster too as well for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that, what I call the second-hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, and to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid 70s, and they are they were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry Hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids, and what does that mean, and should I get a hybrid, and how much is it costing me, and what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find, now, I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry Hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of the hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural Southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates, but when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it, something like about half the eligible voter pool votes, so that's about 50%, and then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye. And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at VIBA-ODP.com from Viva Outdoor Products.